From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. On today's show, we'll talk about the bold and faithful act of Governor Pete Ricketts declaring January 22nd, which is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, as a statewide day of prayer to end abortion. Plus, we'll be joined by a special guest who was with us at the state capitol last week to recognize Religious Freedom Day and talk about the importance of religious freedom in America. Recently, Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts signed a state proclamation declaring Wednesday, January 22nd, as a statewide day of prayer to end abortion. January 22nd is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and it also is the National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And I believe that this is the first time ever that any governor has issued or declared a statewide day of prayer to end abortion. So this is a really big deal. Unsurprisingly, this move has already drawn the ire of the political left and the abortion lobby and now the Freedom From Religion Foundation. But this is a very bold and courageous thing for the governor to do, for someone in his position to speak very publicly and boldly, both about the significance and power of prayer and also about the tragedy of abortion. In his proclamation, Governor Ricketts says, "Since Roe v. Wade, over 50 million unborn children have been killed by abortion in the United States. And Nebraska state law states that it is the will of the people of the state of Nebraska and the members of the legislature to provide protection for the life of the unborn child whenever possible." And that's true. That is actually in Nebraska statute, that the will of the people of Nebraska is to provide protection for the life of unborn children whenever possible. The proclamation goes on to say that Nebraska is a pro-life state that respects the dignity of human life, no matter how small. And Nebraskans display our pro-life values in a multitude of ways, from the crisis pregnancy centers that provide free care for expecting parents to the prayer vigils held across the state every year. And it seems right and fitting that the citizens of the state of Nebraska are urged to pray for an end to abortion and for our fellow citizens who need our love and support. And it's also important to note that the proclamation not only calls Nebraskans to unite in prayer, it also encourages us to take direct action to help support families and mothers in need, especially those who are expecting a child. And look, this is not a law. It doesn't force anyone to do anything, but it carries a lot of significance, and it sends a very powerful and important message. So I know that Nebraska Family Alliance and many people are very grateful to Governor Ricketts for his unwavering commitment to protecting the dignity of every single human life. By declaring the anniversary of Roe v. Wade as a statewide day of prayer to end abortion, this is a courageous thing to do that will hopefully unite people across our state in prayer, as well as deepen the respect for the humanity of unborn children. And this really matters because there is no cause more worthwhile than united in prayer to make abortion unthinkable and to provide loving care for mothers and their children. And to have this come from the governor, it makes it clear that this is not a settled issue. This is a great step, and hopefully one that Americans and other states across the country can emulate. Prayer is a powerful tool for change. And although at times it might feel like prayer is insufficient for some of the problems that we face, it's the most powerful tool that we have. And it's something that we all can do no matter where we are. So on Wednesday, January 22nd, if you and your family or your church have a chance, lift up the plight of abortion in this country. And Nebraska Family Alliance has put together a simple one-page prayer guide for this day that you can use and thousands of other people will be using to unite in prayer around this issue. You can find it and download it on the homepage of our website. So please visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and join us on Wednesday, the 22nd, in praying for an end to abortion. And this wasn't the only noteworthy news to come out of the state capitol recently. Last week, Governor Pete Ricketts signed a proclamation declaring January 16th as Religious Freedom Day in Nebraska. Religious Freedom Day is observed nationally on January 16th, which is actually the anniversary of the 1786 passage of the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom. Governor Ricketts was joined at the ceremony by state senators, faith leaders, educators, and the Nebraska Family Alliance to recognize and speak to the importance of religious freedom. Joining me now is one of the faith leaders who was at the governor's signing ceremony and spoke in support of the proclamation and religious freedom, Pastor Solo Mwania, lead pastor at Lincoln City Church. Pastor Solo, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
It's my pleasure.
Pastor Solo, so you got to be there with the governor and state senators at our state capitol for this special signing ceremony and recognition of religious freedom. What was that experience like for you to get to stand with the governor and legislators and really share about your experience with religious freedom and why it's so important?
No, I think it's awesome and great that we have a governor that doesn't take that one for granted and, in fact, puts it on the forefront and taking the time and pausing his busy schedule and not looking at religion as one of those things that you put it on the side. But he knows that it's so important. He acknowledges it's so important to part of building a strong culture and a strong community. So for once, I was very appreciative of that.
And what was the message that you shared about religious freedom when you got to speak to the media and those who were in attendance that day?
You know, Nate, I thought for me it was important to take an angle of the privilege that we have in America with respect to religious freedom. I think like many things that we get to enjoy here in America, they're just regular in everyday life situations. It's so easy to take some privileges. Their rights, yes, they should be their God-given rights, but not everyone in the world gets to enjoy the God-given right. And so I see it as a right, but also get to appreciate it as a privilege. So my angle was to take that and kind of remind us again that because it is a privilege, we could lose it if we take it for granted. And so again, like I remarked that day, is that it's so important that we have it's great that we have a governor that acknowledges that. But if we forget about it and put it on the back burner, take it for granted, who's to say that we might be in a situation where other countries are like, where they find themselves wondering whatever happened to our good country?
Yeah, that's such an important point, and that's one of the things we talk about a lot, is not taking for granted the freedoms and liberties that we have, because you're right, it's not guaranteed. And one of the things that you mentioned that day that I thought was really interesting and important was how communism and socialism do not support or uphold religious freedom. How concerning is it to you, Pastor Solo, to see some of the rise in support for those systems of government here in the United States?
It is very concerning, because I do believe the United States is a pillar for individual rights. And anytime you have a mentality or a worldview that highlights socialism or communism, when you have that rising in a community, then you know that the rights of that individual begin to diminish slowly. God created everyone as an individual. It's no accident that every single person that's ever walked this planet is unique as they are, because God created us in his own image. And so while the ideas oftentimes with things like socialism and communism might sound good for the ear, the downfall is that individual liberties begin to be encroached upon. and you lose the power of your individual identity. I don't believe that's even biblical. I don't even believe that God created it that way. Every person is unique, created in the Lord's image. And so America has been a pillar that allows, at least encourages, the power of the individual. And that's, I'm concerned seeing our young people being led to this kind of mentality, because they are sold into conveniences and promises that actually cannot be kept in reality.
Right. And you know, Pastor Solo, I think your perspective and insight is so important, because you've actually grown up and spent part of your life in another country, on another continent, in Kenya, before coming to Nebraska. So you've actually lived in and experienced different cultures. Could you share with us about your background and upbringing a little bit?
Yeah, I grew up in Kenya, and Kenya is a peace-loving country, as they say, and very welcoming to people. A lot of things, I'm really proud of my culture and my heritage. But I know, as far as the government is concerned and the environment, I remember recognizing when I first moved to the United States as a young person, how Christianity has had a tremendous impact in the way the culture is. And one of the contrasts that I saw, even though at this time you would say Kenya, they support Christianity, they tend to support Christianity more than I see in the United States at this time. But what I see as a difference is the United States has been a benefactor of being initiated with Christian ideas. And so there are like things like religious freedom and the liberty. It's a Christian idea. And so we enjoy those freedoms and the blessings that are residual effect of the founding and the founding ideals. There's no nation on the planet that's ever been perfect, not even the Israelites, who were God's chosen people in the Old Testament. They struggle. So we can't measure up United States and say, hey, well, if you are a Christian nation or Christian ideas, why did you have all these horrific things in your history? That's just the problem of sin that entered the world. So going back to your original question, Nate, what I see is that I see that we in the United States are enjoying the benefits of having to live in a society that was founded on Christian ideals. And so there are many things, like I said earlier, that we take for granted sometimes, or easily can be taken for granted, but it's not that we are better than anybody else. We are not even close. It's that we just get to enjoy people that decided to pursue ideas of freedom. Jesus is the one who sets us free. The Bible talks about freedom. Those are Christian ideas. And so Kenya, on the other side where I grew up, it's a newer country. Christianity in Kenya is less than 120 years old in terms of it taking root. So as much as it's accepted greatly now, you don't see the residual impact yet. I think if the country continues in that route, that generations from now will benefit from it. And to the contrary, if we put away the ideas of our foundings, we would end up suffering need in the future, God forbid. So that's why this is so important to me.
Well, I appreciate your perspective so much. And one of the other things that you've talked about is the importance of educating our children and future generations about our history, some of those Christian ideals that you talked about, and the significance of religious liberty and why it's so important. Why do you think it's so essential that we do that? And how can we do a better job of ensuring that future generations have those same religious liberties and can benefit from those as we are today?
One of the things is, if you recall on the speech that I gave at the governor's conference, was I started with a quote from Karl Marx, who once said that you take away the heritage of the people and they are easily persuaded. When you see people taking really strong ideals that has made this country what it is today, when people start taking it lightly and putting it in the back burner, and you see some assumptions, it tells you that the children are not learning the origins of or the foundation of what makes America great. And what has made America great over these last many years. And so it goes back to teaching, educating children. It's obviously not going through the school system. You know, I think as a community, as a society, as a whole, it's not just a one person. School in itself is not enough. I think families need to be engaged, realizing that the situation in the family right now is not ideal, but we can still educate our children. Churches need to come together, the community, and recognize the importance of teaching history, because that dictates what the future is going to be if we understand our heritage and why we are set up the way we are set up now.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, there's so many issues in our country today and in our culture. And I think, pastors have such a difficult job as it is to shepherd their congregation and to lead people spiritually. And then you pile on, you know, divisive political issues on top of that. Why do you think that religious liberty and religious freedom should hopefully always be an issue of first importance to Christians and people of faith, making sure that that's something that we're always vigilant in defending and talking about?
I think we run into a huge problem when we believe as a culture the lie that we can somehow legislate the heart. If you look at most of the bills that are being passed in the political sphere, oftentimes you could tell that there is no lack of legislation. I think we have sufficient legislation in the book sometimes. So that's not the issue. And now, while I agree that the government is important and we should have good laws in the books, what really the issue is the people's hearts. And so we cannot legislate the people's hearts. But religious liberty allows for that environment where things, matters of the heart can be confronted by the word of God, may be confronted, but the only one who can touch the heart, and that's the Lord. And so people's hearts have to be changed and they have to be compelled. We start encroaching or limiting religious freedom. We get into those territories where we make man God, thinking that somehow, some way, man's law can be sufficient to shape and create the society that we desire. It's a lie from the pit of hell, and it is a sad situation. So that's why we have to protect religious liberties, to allow room for the word of God to be spoken openly. People can take it or leave it, but at least they have the freedom to decide for themselves whether they want it or not. Do not deny others the opportunity to have a chance to reject or accept the message that's being preached. And so that's would be my take on that.
Well, that's really what this is about, is keeping the door open for the gospel and ensuring that no one is punished or coerced coerced because of their religious beliefs, and that the government isn't forcing people or trying to force everyone to adhere to one belief system. And you know, I think there is such an important role in this conversation for not only people of faith, but of course, pastors. And so I really appreciated getting to hear your perspective on the issue of religious freedom and its importance in our country. And I loved to end, Pastor Solo, by asking you just to share a little bit about something that you're excited about or seeing God do right now in your church or in your community.
I'm always excited for new beginnings. I'm always excited. I think God set us up the way the seasons work. You know, He could have created the world that is just still, and God is able to make to create an environment for us to live in and life to take place without having it, the world rotate as it does around the sun, you know. But I believe He put it in motion to give us opportunity for new beginnings. So any time there's a new year coming about, and any time we have a new day and a new week, I'm always excited to say, hey, this is God's reminder that, yeah, yesterday is gone. Today I can hope for something better. I might have had a hard time yesterday. I might have had a difficult year last year, but God's every so often causes the seasons to change just to remind us mentally, hey, it's going to be all right. So at the beginning of the year, we're excited what God's doing at our church, the city church in the city of Lincoln, even across the country. So believing for great things. And one of the things we're praying for is for a true revival that will change people's lives. I think the atmosphere is ripe for us to see a move of God in our country where people's destinies can be reassigned people's destinies, people can have new destinies, new dreams, new aspirations. I know that things are going to be all right. Yeah.
Amen. That's an encouraging word and a great place to leave off. So once again, thank you, Pastor Solo Mwania from Lincoln City Church, for joining us on the program today. It was great to have this conversation with you.
Thanks a lot, Nate. God bless.
For more information on the issue of religious freedom and how you can help defend it in Nebraska, visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. State senators will reconvene this week for day 8 of this year's 60-day session. Over 1,000 bills have been introduced, and senators will begin holding committee hearings and taking up some big issues in the legislature. Defending religious freedom is a big reason for why NFA exists and why we read each of those 1,000-plus bills and why we're at the Capitol meeting with senators and staff to ensure that no legislation is being pushed through that would undermine or harm religious liberty. And we have to stay vigilant, as Pastor Solo talked about. We have to be on guard, and we can never take our religious liberties for granted. And this shouldn't be a deeply polarizing issue. Religious freedom is for everyone, and it benefits everyone in society, whether they recognize it or not, or whether they choose to adhere to any religion or not. Religious liberty ensures that no one, regardless of their beliefs, is punished by the government, or that they are threatened or lose their job or forced to retreat from civil and political life because of their beliefs. Religious freedom protects all other freedoms. It is what has set our country apart, because in America, we recognize that our rights come from God, not government. And government exists to secure those rights, not create them. And that is why Christians and people of faith must be involved and engaged in the political process. And you can easily keep track of the most important legislation that NFA is tracking and working in support and opposition to at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Click on our bill tracker page, where you can see the bills we're monitoring, what they would do, what their status is, and how you can help make a difference. That's all the time we have for this week. Once again, we want to give a special thank you to our guest today, Pastor Solo Mwania from Lincoln City Church. Until next time, I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next time. Thanks for listening to your Capitol Connection.